Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
You're listening to Radio Boston, and I'm Carrie Young in for Tiziana Deering. Well, the Red Sox, are still in the playoff hunt, but they're looking like long shots to win a World Series this year. The New England Patriots might be better than last year, but their odds of winning a Super Bowl also don't look much better. So could it be a long year for Sox and Pats fans? We're going to start off talking baseball with Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. Hi, Alex.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, so the baseball trade deadline came and went on Tuesday, and the Red Sox only added one player, which was Luis Urias. And he is mainly a backup, from what I understand. So, you know, I guess, would you say that the Red Sox are kind of admitting here that they're not all in this year?
I think it's fair to say that they took a measured approach to the trade deadline. And in fact, they considered trading away big league players from their current roster, even though they're kind of within arm's reach of a playoff spot. That's a kind of uncomfortable position for a major league team where you consider the possibility of adding to that group in order to somewhat improve your odds of making the postseason. But you do so without a sense of certainty about the payoff. So you also consider the possibility of subtracting from that roster. If you get something that's really going to help you become a much better team for the future, neither of those things were available to the Red Sox. And so they ended up kind of staying in the middle and not doing a whole lot of anything.
Right. Well, okay. So when we asked after Tuesday's deadline about not bringing in more players for a playoff run, Red Sox president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, had to say this.
We really like what we're building. You've seen it now. Like I said, it's not something that we're asking people to close their eyes and dream on. You're seeing it more and more each night on the field, the core we're building, what we're building towards. So we basically, you know, understanding that we're underdogs this year right now where we are in the playoff odds, we just tried to stay true to that.
I mean, now, a lot of people, I will say, love a good underdog story, but there are some fans who would say, you know, we're the Boston Red Sox. We're one of the most valuable franchises in this sport. They won a championship 5 years ago. So why are we talking about being underdogs now? I mean, also, I have to think about, and I don't know a ton about sports. I'm not an avid follower, but what I do know is that Boston's unofficially known as Title Town. I knew that moving in here. So, you know, why do you think Bloom is going this approach?
I think that the hope is that eventually the Red Sox get to a place where they have the necessary talent to year after year consider themselves very much in the hunt for a title. They're not there yet. And so rather than taking half measures that bring them within that slightly improve their odds of being a fringe contender, and you know they are competing for a playoff spot this year, but he doesn't want to give up key players who might be part of a very, very good team moving forward in order to focus on that wild card element, that kind of just sneaking into the playoffs. I think that the Red Sox ultimate ambition is to storm into the playoffs as a favorite. And so Bloom believes that the path to doing so is patience and allowing time for young players, whether at the major league level, which has been visible at times this year for the Red Sox, or in the minor leagues, to develop, to flourish, and then ultimately supplementing that at the right time with players who will allow those visions of championships to become more real and more accessible.
I like that, visions of championships. You know, one thing this makes me think is, like, it sounds like you're telling me that there's a long game here that maybe not everyone finds really palatable. Am I understanding that right?
You are 100% getting that right. It is the case that the Red Sox are, they've taken a measured approach. They built a team this year that I think has exceeded expectations for a lot of people, probably myself included, in terms of the toughness and competitiveness that they're showing on a night after night basis, and in being as close as they are to a playoff spot, entering a series against the Blue Jays this weekend.
Right.
They're two games behind the Blue Jays. So if they sweep Toronto, they would find themselves in possession of that third wild card spot. But at the same time, I think that it's also fair to say that this team is not as this team doesn't have the elements that say, like, absolutely, this is a win now team that's as good as any team in baseball. So I do think that the idea is you're absolutely right. A bit of a long game where the Red Sox are hoping to be a good team this year, aspiring to be a great one in the future.
Okay, and you brought up the series with the Toronto Blue Jays that's coming up. How much do you think we should believe in the underdogs that we have right now?
Well, they've played really well against good teams, and in fact, they've kind of steamrolled the Blue Jays in the two series that they've played them, winning all but one game that the two teams have played against each other. They've shown an ability to play very well against the best teams in baseball, including recently Atlanta, which has the best record in baseball, and other teams in the American League East, whether the Rays or certainly the Yankees that they've done very well against. So I think that there is a toughness that they've exhibited, and there's been in-season improvement. That said, I think that they've also shown regularly that they're a flawed team that sometimes commits acts of self-sabotage. And so there's a little bit of a Forrest Gumpian, you know, box of chocolates element, but you know, some of the flavor that with the wide array of supplying a wide array of tastes, I suppose.
All right. Okay. So we're talking about how much we should believe in the Red Sox and Patriots. Speaking just now is Alex Speer, Boston Globe Red Sox reporter. We are going to shift gears a little bit. Speaking of teams people aren't quite sure how to feel about just yet, the Patriots have started training camp for a really big season. So we're going to bring in WMUR sports reporter Jonathan Marshall to the conversation. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And we also have WBUR Radio Boston producer Kyrie Thompson, who has covered the Patriots for the last 2 years with Boston.com and WEEI. Hey, Kyrie, welcome to this side of the glass.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Jonathan, I am going to start with you. Last year was disappointing, as I understand, for the Patriots. They missed the playoffs. Their young quarterback, Mac Jones, had a frustrating sophomore year after a really solid, arguably rookie year. People were questioning if Bill Belichick should be on the hot seat now. So you've been down to training camp this summer. And can you tell me, like, what did you see? And should Boston fans have hope?
Well, first off, last year for Mac Jones, pretty much I look at it as a lost year, right? You have a guy, Matt Patricia, who has a defensive background. Now you have him guiding your offense and your second year quarterback. So it wasn't ideal. So you bring back Bill O'Brien, who has some respectable resume when it comes to the offensive side of things. So I think with that already, this team has already gotten better. I think Mac Jones already has a better situation just on the sidelines. You know, the sideline situation, having a coach who actually knows what he's doing. I think right there, having that stability, I think you can already see some of that stability just by watching the practices at training camp. So that right there should give fans a little bit of hope.
Yeah, and that's for context. So you know, last year, the quarterback Mac Jones, you know, so he comes in, he has a really good rookie season in 2021, and looks like, oh yeah, Bill Belichick got himself another star quarterback, and then kind of derailed the progress by having an offensive coordinator, so he's running the offensive side of the football, and Matt Patricia, who'd never done the job before. And predictably, it didn't go very well at all. And so now you're looking at it like, you know, Bill O'Brien, he's been the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots in the past and done really well, like a Super Bowl leading offense. And it sounds like from the vibe that I've been getting is that everybody feels more comfortable. People feel like they're playing faster, more freely, and that there aren't as many of the team killing mistakes that happened at the end of last year, which if you had not had some of those team-killing mistakes, they would have been a playoff team.
Okay, what is a team-killing mistake? Can you quickly describe that?
So, things like, you know, false starts, so jumping too early off of the ball, or, you know, committing a penalty, you know, like hitting somebody after the play when you're not supposed to, or in the case of what happened in the Las Vegas Raiders game, throwing the ball just completely inadvisedly to a member of the other team in the closing seconds of a game, and then watching that player go run into the, you know, end zone to basically destroy your season, or what happened in the very next game after that, fumbling on the 5-yard line as you're about to score a game-winning touchdown. So things like that you would hope you're not going to see.
Okay, I think that's a fair description there. I'm going to stick with you, Kyrie. I know in our conversations before the show, you were telling me that Bill Belichick has gotten a lot of heat from the media and from fans for not making big trades or making a, you know, splashy free agent signing. This feels like an echo from, you know, earlier in this segment. So in your mind, has he done enough to make the Patriots competitive this season?
See, it all depends on what we're talking about being competitive for. Are we being competitive for the playoffs, as Alex was talking about with the Red Sox, their fringe playoff contender? Yeah, I think they're a fringe sort of playoff team. They could sneak in there with a wild card berth. I mean, they have a solid team, especially on defense. They have a very good defense. They've improved the coaching on offense to not do the awful things that ruined them last year, because if they had won just one of those games that they crippled themselves in, they would have won the playoffs. Like, mathematically, they would have been in. Now, the question is, though, is coaching and just doing your job and reducing the margin for error that way enough? I would say no. I think they need actual, you know, kind of star power on the team, particularly on the offensive side, because the Patriots saw this for 20 years. When you have the baddest quarterback on the block in Tom Brady, and you have some of the best, you know, offensive weapons, you know, that you can throw the ball to and they can just take care of everything, you've got a good chance to win. And we see that in Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, and they're always contending for a championship. The Patriots don't have that right now, which means their margin for error is razor thin. They cannot afford to make any mistakes, and that's just an unrealistic place to have your football team if you're trying to contend for a title.
Okay, so that was WBUR Radio Boston producer Kyrie Thompson just there. I'm going to turn back to Jonathan Marshall, the WMUR sports reporter. So I want to ask you about Bill Belichick's time with the Patriots. You know, Kyrie was just saying about, you know, there's this level of comfort that we're seeing where everyone feels comfortable in their roles and that's making a difference. But, you know, 24 years of running the Patriots, I guess my first question is that something we typically see? Again, I am a sports watcher kind of rookie, if you will. So take it from that angle. But also, he's 71 years old. And so does his age play into, you know, his ability to manage this team? How do you feel about that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, it's not normal in today's day and age, right? I mean, we're seeing turnovers with rosters, with management, with coaches. I mean, every 2-3 years, a lot of these teams are changing leadership, right? Which leads to not having stability. So this franchise has had that stability, and that is a privilege that a lot of teams haven't experienced, right? And so when you've done something for so long and you've been largely successful at it, right? 9 times out of 10, you're going to stick to it, right? This works. I'm a champion. I'm held as one of the better coaches, one of the best coaches all time, period, across major sports. So why am I going to change what has worked? Well, it's a new day, right? It's 2023. Times change. Now, the NFL is all about the quarterback. It's all about the offense. You look at this Patriots roster, how it's constructed. Kyrie just talked about defensively. This could be an elite defensive unit. I mean, they led the league in touchdowns last season. Offensively, though, you look at the competition in their own division with the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins. They have top-notch, potentially top-notch offenses. Not even just in their own division, the entire AFC, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. I mean, some of these top elite quarterbacks in these top offenses. So the Patriots, I mean, I think they're a little bit behind the times offensively. You're talking about being geared toward the run and not being such an explosive team with the pass. It's a new day and age, and I feel like with Belichick, maybe just the time has passed him by, and we're talking about roster construction and building an offense that can compete in today's landscape.
Yeah,
that's where I think he falls.
I'm seeing Kyrie in the studio here nodding his head. So I have time for one more question for all of you guys. I'm going to bring back in Alex Speer, the Boston Globe Red Sox reporter, into the conversation. And I will ask you, which team do you think is closer to a championship right now, the Red Sox or the Patriots?
Oh, wow. That's always a tough one. I don't know. Let's just call it a tie.
I like that. What do you think, Jonathan?
Look, you know what? I don't think either team is close to a championship, so I'm going to have to say a tie.
Okay, Kyrie, your thoughts?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Red Sox, because I feel like they've got a little bit brewing in the farm system, and they've got some promising young talent. Whereas for the Patriots, I feel like we're approaching the end of an era, and I'm curious to see what the next coach will inherit when Bill Belichick finally hangs it up.
I like it. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm Carrie Young. This is Radio Boston.